searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Loves us loves us. Amen. Hallelujah. We're getting close to that Easter season. Amen. And I just thank God for it. It's a constant reminder of the price that he paid for our soul. Let us go before his throne. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless you. We do honor you. Because of you, we live and move and have our very being. Without you, we would not be. We thank you for the invitation of life that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you've made provisions for us and that and you made it so that we could spend eternity with you. Amen. You knew, amen, that eventually we would fall into sin, but you already had in place, amen, Jesus to catch us. Thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross, amen, and doing that degradation for the salvation of our souls. And then you sent back the Holy Spirit, our guide, our keeper, our comforter, our friend. And Father God, right now we're just asking that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you already have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Bless us with the knowledge of your will and continue to give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, right now I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I tell you, today it's going to be a little different. Well, you know, I ask God, what do you want me to talk about? And I guess people have been inquiring. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the last days where we are right now. And this is not an area I specialize in. I specialize in survival tactics, how to walk in love, how to not miss the rapture, if you please. That's what I do. That's what was given to me. You know, I'm going to give you some names later on of people you can follow if you want more detail. You know, and it's all over the Internet, all over YouTube. I mean, this is the first time. Understand, I've been a Christian for over 45 years, and this is the first time you see a 100% agreement with the prophets, and I understand that. But it's also, you got to understand, I'm going to share a little bit about how we know it's the last days. What are the signs? And this will probably be a 2-hour session. Not today. I'm not going to do both hours today, because I need people to sit back and chew on what I say and then go to God and ask him for a confirmation. You always want to contact God before you receive and set in your heart what you heard. You always want to set, because, see, God will, your environment is different than mine. Your experiences are different than mine, so you really want God to be part of everything that you do. But bottom line, he's saying all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You don't want to be able to just, okay, I told, the pastor said, or Brother Overall said, and that be that. No, you get it. And you know, if you know the word, then you pretty much know. But you really want it confirmed in your heart with God, because the challenge is Satan is going to push hard. The closer we get to the end, the harder he's going to try to push you away. We might get to that today. I don't think so. But you have to understand where we are. Now again, you got to understand training day. Okay, training day is all based on this day, where we going, to the next level, to the third gen man. Okay, for my new people, first gen man is from Adam to Jesus. And they did not, only kings, prophets, and priests had the Holy Spirit upon them, all right? Then Jesus died and rose again, and through his blood covering on our spirit, we can now receive the Spirit of God. Before that, it would have killed us, because it kills sin. I mean, it is what it is. You know, our human nature, our sin nature would have caused our death. So, but God understood our creation. This is the thing you have to understand. Yes, God knew all this. He had everything in preparation. What he demands, without question, is accountability. Don't make excuses. If you, you know, we're not going to get into Adam making excuses, but you'll see the difference between Adam and King David. David didn't make excuses. He says, Lord, I sinned. That's all God wants. And then seek him for revelation on how to avoid that, because you have to understand what environment you live in, all right? Second year man was when after Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit, at that point, from beginning with the day of Pentecost, well, actually before that with the disciples, but all men can receive the Holy Spirit. So when you say you receive Christ, you're not just making a religious declaration. That is actually happening. See, as an individual, God has to have your permission to enter in and mix with your spirit, to basically invade your privacy, okay? So in order to do that, this is the process that you go through. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That's what happens. Now, don't go by your feelings, okay? You do not judge this by your feelings. You judge it by what it says in Romans 10:8. It says, I say with my mouth, I believe in my heart. And trust me, as you grow in time, you stick with God, you attune to God, the revelation becomes clearer. Believe me, I'm telling you. Because it takes that when you know that you know that you know, you might get knocked down. The Bible says, though he falls seven times, the Lord will pick him up. Now, I'm going to tell you, I done been picked up. I done lost. I don't even count, okay? Because it is spiritual warfare. You are a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotion. And you live in a body. That's to minimize how much trouble we get in. Because third-gen man, which is where believers that die become, or when the rapture come, all of us upon earth will become third-gen man. And that characterization is identical to the person that Jesus is now. The only difference is Jesus will still be the only one that will be inerrant. Never make it wrong. You will have it to a minimum, because the challenges of life won't be the same. The pressures of life won't be the same. You won't get hot. You won't get cold. You won't be hungry. You won't be sick. You won't be tired. You won't be broke. If you want to know, and then that's just the beginning. It even gets better after that. If you read Revelation chapter 21 and 22, that's the finality. There's still another training process that goes on for 1,000 years, okay? I mean, that. God does everything with a purpose, and I understand that, because when you go through a process, there's going to be some changes come about. Okay, now, the second coming of Christ is in three parts, all right? Part one is the rapture. We're headed toward that now. That's an any day, any moment event. You know, as much as we like to think we got an idea, God really knows the point and time, because there are a lot of things are in motion right now. One is it evolves around us. It all evolves around us. You know, if it looks like that not enough of us are standing in the gap, praying, walking upright, do God have the actual number? I don't even know how many people walking up right on my block. Okay? Okay? So, you know, I only know about my household. That's it. When you get out the door, that's it. I don't have a count. God does, but he sees everything. And see, we are the controlling force. Because God, a Christian has the Holy Spirit of God. You got to understand, the Holy Spirit is an equal member of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is equal to the Lord God Jehovah. You got to understand how powerful that is, which is why he don't take no stuff. That's why I'm telling you, you got to understand that, because you don't understand how powerful you are. You see this in the fact that we have all these misalignments with his word. His word is set. It is what. That's why he gave it to Moses in stone. He gave it to Moses in stone. Said, "This is it. It ain't changing. I'm not changing. You gotta change." And that's what it's about. Because when you get to that next level, you know, things that you, we get by with now, we won't get by with. As I know it's too. Listen, I know that sounds awesome, but think about the process of life. Again, I enter my mother's womb from my father, 100 million sperm, and built the body. My spirit knew what to do to assemble at the cellular level a body for me to come out with. And the reason I say my spirit, because if God did it, as everybody, a lot of time they try to blame it on him or say, I get why they say he did it because he's God. But the fact that it don't come out perfect every time, see, and there's a lot of moving factors in that. We didn't even know that you had to pray over a child from the time that they you first have notification they exist. And women know before men. Because they know, because they carry that life in them. There's a definite different relationship with women and men over with when it comes to children. They know that life is in there. It's because it's a person. It's a person. I mean, you think about how sensitive your spirit is. Sometimes you can detect when there's a spider around you, as small as it is. Why? Because it's an entity with an energy. And you know what should and should not be in your space. It's really amazing how we do that. You know how somebody can walk up from behind you and before they touch you, you know they're there. You know, it's like you got radar. You got to understand, you are a spirit. You go back, you see that in Genesis 2:7. God took some dirt and put Adam in that dirt, and Adam's spirit finished the process, built 78 organs, 200 different cell types. And 9 million of cells that he controls. Same with us. See, so if all this sounds fantastic, think about that. You eat food, you don't sit there giving step-by-step instructions. I'm chewing right now. I'm swallowing. I'm breaking it down in this whatever kind of acid that's in your stomach and it's passing through and it's doing that. Think about what food goes through before it enters your bloodstream and find the proper place to go. Your spirit is a tremendous apparatus, that's the best way I can say it. So God fully understands that, but he has a mandate that we learn two things. Love him, because this is a challenging life and every day ain't going to go the way you want it to go, and love your neighbor in the process, and you're going to get some challenges there. That right there, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, that's the definition of the love he's talking about, agape love, okay? But God is your supplier of that. Fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the capabilities of the Spirit of Christ. So you know that negates excuses. You have to work at that. You're working because of your eternal aspect of life, not this temporary aspect of life. So don't get so caught up on, people getting on your nerves, because that's going to happen. That's guaranteed. You're not going to get out of that, because that happens because, again, you got to look at the other aspect. God let the devil exist. He could have killed him the day he rebelled, and he would have never shown up in the garden. There was nothing he could do about it. He going to lock him up during 1,000 years. He could keep him out the mix if he want to. But he stepped out of the head ahead of God. See, God wouldn't let him do that role, you know, with his permission. You see that in 1 Kings chapter 22, where God let a lion spirit go and deceive the prophets of Baal. But that spirit is not going to hell because he did it at the behest of God. See, you got to understand, Adam didn't know what we know. Okay, he didn't even know. Adam didn't know who Satan was. He didn't know he was being deceived. If he did that, he'd have pulled Satan's head off in the garden. He had the capability then. All right, now, so all that is about, we're about to go to the next phase. And I mean, it's, look at what's happening. I don't even want to talk about. I hate to tell you this, but it ain't gonna get better. It's going to get extremely worse. You know, the word uses the term iniquity. It says, when iniquity, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And look at how people are doing each other. Look at Putin bombing Ukraine rather than talking to him and trying to see whether or not he could help them grow wheat better. You know, so this point here, this is what we're going to talk about quickly is just the three phases. First phase is, like I said, the rapture, which is soon. That could happen any moment. Then comes the part you don't want to go through. That's called the tribulation. It's really called tribulation and great tribulation. And I'm not going by what some of these my teachers have been sharing, okay? The tribulation began after the rapture because it's going to be total chaos. If you can imagine, a billion people are going to disappear, okay? Then you got the tribulation period. Then at the end of that tribulation period comes the third part, and that's when Jesus Christ himself physically, visibly comes back, rules the earth, and he destroys all those that reject him immediately upon entry into this planet. And that, I mean, it's that Star Trek type of killing where people just vaporize. What was that movie? I can't think of that movie with Tom Cruise where people just got vaporized. That's what's going to happen when Jesus come back. So now, because I got a lot of new people, and you really need to be a bunch, because see, I know Satan right now is trying to get people to get engaged in stuff that is totally useless, okay? That as he's the master of distraction, and this is for the benefit of those that you need to, excuse me, this is an area you can spend months on, okay, talking about it. Okay, the Bible covers it in both the Old and the New Testament. I'm not going to be getting that deep on it, okay? I'm just going to get into some aspects of it, so you kind of get a fix on how we know where we are. And that'll help, you know, when temptation comes, you're like, nah, I don't want to risk that because I don't know. You know, I remember years ago it was a discussion that a person asked if they was having fornication at the time of the rapture, would they be raptured? I told them no. That was my opinion because, you know, you took the bad time because you at that point. See, Satan is going to be doing that. He's going to be doing that. I'm telling you, he's going to get people caught up. Now, people may disagree. I don't know. I wouldn't risk it. I'll tell you that. Now, so this is Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading out the NIV, writing to the saints in Thessalonica. I believe that's over there in Greece. It's still called that. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start with verse 13. He said, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will not certainly precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them to meet with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, there's some things I need to point out here, okay? And the next one's going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 50. But now, first you got to understand the process here. Now, when a saint die right now, they go to heaven, all right? So they're going to come back and get their body. Now think about this. Some of these folk been dead thousands of years, and they're going to come back and reassemble the dust wherever it is and dress it up, and then there'll be spirit and flesh. Now, that's very key, because understand, Jesus right now is spirit and flesh. That is distinctly different from being flesh and blood. Okay? That also removes the restrictions. You can pretty much see. You got to look at this, how great this is. Tremendous this is. And this is why a person has to master love. Because that's tremendous power right there. I've been trying to say that. My whole program has been about understanding the tremendous way or the tremendous, how tremendous we are. How marvelous we are made, you know? You got to get that because that's why we go through all the drama of life. So that we can get a revelation on that we need to have our spirit in subjection to the Word of God at all times. This is why. Think about it. You got to look at this. My mother and father will come back, reassemble, you know, and about less time that it took to be born. This won't take 9 months. They're going to reassemble their DNA and dress it up, and then we go all go back to heaven. Now, look, we're not talking about Star Trek transporter beam Jesus flying down with a spaceship and beam us up. We're just going to launch from wherever we are and go back to heaven with him and be there for 7 years, okay? This is how that process is. It's going to be quick. Now, this is going to happen to roughly, they say there are 2 billion Christians. Jesus say half ain't going to make it. So I'm guessing it's only going to be about 1 billion leave at the same time. Now, and just as a backup scripture, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and read a little bit on that. I know I didn't say everything I wanted to say on the matter of fact, let me go back there. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians because I want to get all that out. We got time. We in good time because, like I said, I want you to get the full thought of this, full impact of this. Okay? Now, there's another area, the term rapture, as it says here in the verse 17. You know, there's a fruitless debate. Titus, when I first read in Timothy and Titus, not to waste my time on foolish genealogies and questions that, you know, that just generate more questions. Don't debate with people. The Greek word for caught up is harpazo, okay? And forgive me if I'm not Greek speaking. But, so that's how we get the term, they developed the term rapture. We're allowed to make terms. Man can make terms as long as you do not change the intent of the passage. It has to stay in alignment with that. That's in Isaiah 28. It said line upon line, precept upon precept. Don't let nobody get you at the word rapture. Okay, just tell them, okay, I'm caught up. Don't matter. Okay? And this is different from when Jesus comes at the end of the 7-year tribulation. This initiates the 7-year tribulation. Okay? Now, this says, caught up with together with them in the clouds, not on the earth, to meet the Lord in the air. That's very different from when he comes back to set his foot down on the Mount of Olives and sit on the throne and rule in Jerusalem. Very distinctly, I don't even know how people can mix that up. It's clear right there. They wanted to say what they wanted to say, but it ain't what that speaks for itself. There's a book of Revelation chapter 22, around the end of that chapter, it cautions you that if you take away from the Bible or add to the Bible, your name gonna be taken out of the book of life. God don't play with his word, you know. Anyway. So now we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Okay, well, actually 51. And it says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will be raised imperishable. We will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe themselves with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. Okay, and I'm not going to go on and read the rest of that. But that's just a backup. Paul was talking to the Corinthians Corinthians church. Understand that the Corinthian church was not a Jewish church. This is for my new people. These were the Gentiles that had came to Christ. There were some Jews there, but for the most part, they were Gentiles, or those not born in the lineage of Abraham. All right? So, but this is just, so he's, this is just to say that he told us, taught the same thing to everybody, pretty much, because that's what the Holy Spirit is teaching. There's a lot on this issue, but the bottom line is, okay, now, this is where we're going. We're going, now we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 38, because now there's another debate over this issue as to when does World War III occur. Well, I live in the Detroit, Metro Detroit area, all right? Now, if you know anything about war, or if you've studied war, you know that Detroit was played a major role in the victory of World War II. And what it was is their manufacturing capability, which has improved since then. Technology has improved. So if you're a battle general, your target, one of your targets is definitely going to be Detroit. I had a book out. I didn't have a book. I read a book. And in that particular book, which is no longer in print, written by a military general called World War III, and Detroit was number five on the list, and everything between Detroit and Chicago was just evaporated. The amount of megatonnage launched. Now, that was then before they discovered or had developed what is called EMP, electromagnetic pulse. Now, what electromagnetic pulse would do would just burn out everything electronic and put this area back into the Stone Age. You wouldn't have no electricity. You'd have to go to using wood for heat and whatever other manner. Now, whether it's going to be electromagnetic pulse so that he could enslave the, mind you, or a direct nuclear strike and just wipe them out, I don't know. All I know is I won't be here. This is why I'm leaving with the rapture. I'm doing all I can. Trust me. Satan tries. He tries stuff. You know, the best thing that I do, I keep myself out the streets. I stay out of his territory. I minimize it. I go with God, as they say. Now, World War III. We're going to read, you have to read, I'm not going to read both chapters of Ezekiel 38-39, but that, the distinct difference between World War III and Armageddon is that Jesus is the winner of the Battle of Armageddon. And in World War III, Israel is the winner, okay? That's the distinct difference. And, you know, that one of the persons let me get his list of people. I hope you got a pen ready. All right. Amir Tsafarti is spelled T-S-A-F-A-R-T-I. He is a Messianic Jew that lives in Israel. You know, I'm waiting on some information, a confirmation. I'm not going to share today because I haven't gotten a confirmation about him, but we're going to be talking at some point about these false messiahs showing up. But anyway, and Jimmy Evans, amen, is another eschatology study, a pastor that studies eschatology. Bishop Keith Butler has a video on YouTube called 17 Signs of the Return of Christ. It is very excellent in detail. Jonathan Kahn, I would recommend you get his book called The Paradigm. He shows you some things in that book that it shows you how God does everything with a pattern. He doesn't deviate because God is intent on us making this journey, you know. And Pastor O, if you go to PastorGMO.com, you can get access to his end time messages. It's a deep study. And it's good to know because the Bible, unlike any other book on the planet, is the only book that has ever dared to speak of the future and does it with 100% accuracy. Even though folks that try to deny that, they fail at it. They fail at it because the reality is this. But in Isaiah chapter 40, 40 through 42 to 44, God repeatedly states his ability to tell the future, call those things in the future before they happen. That's the distinguished things about the Bible is that God is behind his writing. It isn't man that just come up with this. Man wouldn't come up with this. He wouldn't make rules against the things that he wanted to do. The Bible, that's not human nature. But anyway, I'm just going to go through a brief part of this. It says in the NIV, and it said, the word of the Lord came to me. This is Ezekiel. Son of man, set your face against Gog in the land of Magog. And presently that would be Putin if he lives. And the chief prince of Meshach, which is Moscow, Tubal, prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm against you, God, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaw. Now, let me stop right there. The hook in the jaw has been bandied around over the years as to what that could be. But it's a possession in Israel that will be cause an overwhelming desire. Now, what is known right now, what was discovered in the last few 5 years or so, is that Israel now has the largest natural gas deposit on the planet, as small as they are, but that's God. And once they string a line to Europe, that will cut Putin's profits in half, finish off his economy. So what this is about is that this army assembled together to go after that. Not to mention their other motives, because a lot of these nations, he says, I will put hooks in your jaws and bring you out of your whole army of your horses, your horsemen fully armed, and your great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing swords. Of course, you know, now they carry different types of weapons. Persia, which is now Iran, okay, Kush, Put, will be with them. That's part of Ethiopia. With all their shields and helmets, and Gomer with all his troops, and Beth Togarmah, and from the far north with all his troops, which is part of Turkey. Basically, several of the Middle Eastern nations, all of them go assemble together to go after little Israel. If you look at Israel on a map, it's very small in comparison to its surrounding enemies. You know, bottom line is they're going to go and they're going to get smoked. That's it. In the next chapter, chapter 9, God unleashes something on them. One of the weapons that is used, matter of fact, let's go read that right quick. I know I'm going through this, but I'm not, you know, bottom line is I'm more interested in you not going through that than knowing so much about it. Because Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12, and this is a description. Now listen to this. Hallelujah. It said the whole, I'm going to read with verse 10. It said the whole land from Gibeon to Rimmon, south Jerusalem, will become like Araba, but Jerusalem will be raised up and remain in its place from the Benjamin gate to the site of the first gate, to the corner gate, and to the tower of Hananel, to the royal wine presses. It will be inhabited. Never again will it be destroyed. Jerusalem will be secure. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouth. Bottom line is going to eat up all their flesh before their body hit the ground. Okay? Now, that is a description of a neutron bomb, N-E-U-T-R-O-N. Presently, the nation of Israel is the only known nation with that technology, and they don't even share it with the United States. So, you know, bottom line, if you dropped it on Detroit, it would just eat up all, everything living in, but it wouldn't leave radiation. See, now, think about that. Ate their flesh before their bodies hit the ground. So that's World War III going to be an ugly, horrible war. You don't want to be here because whatever happens, whenever they set off something, it always has residue that travels in the air. It ain't gonna just stay there. It might not be as powerful when it get where it's going, but I guarantee you it's gonna move through the earth, because you'll see in the book of Revelation a lot of things happen of that nature. It's gonna be talk about a distortion in nature. You're gonna see disruption in nature. You're seeing that now. Every month there's disaster. Every month. And they're going to increase. And if you mess around and stay here after the rapture, magnify that by 1,000. It's going to be crazy. Right now, so you want to leave here at the rapture. So, again, just as another, let's go to Revelation chapter 8. Yep, we good. And I want to show you something else that I've known about since 1998. Now, okay, Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "And the third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on the third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters turned bitter, and many of the people died from the waters that had become bitter." Now, that particular event right now, if you look up Apophis, APOPHIS, there's less debate about it. Now, NASA has come out and told the truth about it. And back in, I believe, either November or September, they conducted, sometime in the last quarter of last year, they conducted an experiment they launched a rocket called DART, in which they tried to change the course of an asteroid in space. So the point of that exercise was that they know that if they can't change the course of Apophis, which has been by here before, comes by about every 7 years. It's amazing. Every 7 years. It's coming by in a seven-year period, and everything you look around with God has seven in it. You know, we are beginning a seven-year period, a speeder period, as they call it. That's another whole study. You go Jonathan Kahn, you look him up, you can find his website. He's a messianic Jew, so he can teach you thoroughly about the Shemitah period and the seven-year period, and everything God does is linked to those events in the Bible, the Feast of Trumpets, all that. It's not just random. God doesn't do it. That's the amazing thing. I've always held that when we get close to that time, we would know it. We would know it. So bottom line is the Wormwood and the Apophis. Okay, that is going to hit April 29th, April 13th, 2029, because we'll be gone 3.5 years. You know, this is another thing. I have twice heard, and that's challenging, because these men are, I would say, renowned in the area of eschatology. This is the first time I've ever heard a date, but it fits with all the other events going on. I mean, the list of events is long. Somebody said it's the prophetic events are almost to 1,000, so it's no way to give you all 1,000 of them. The bottom line is that God does everything with reason. And the thing is, listen, I'm going to say this repeatedly. Ask your people and tell them about the coming of Christ, because I talk to people every week that didn't know he was coming back at all. You know, they just thought that was a one-time event. No, he's coming back to rule. And I know it shaked them, because you can see that the world has changed and it's getting worse, okay? So bottom line, let me give you a rough down. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff out there. This is why you got to take your time and get off Facebook and and just sit back and let God minister to you. Again, like I said, all this is about us. It's about where we're going to spend eternity. It's always been about us. And this is another thing that I've heard recently, frequently. We were born to be here at this specific time to do our specific part in this journey. So see God about that, and you may be doing it. You know, a lot of time we look for big, exciting things, you know. I'm sure a lot of people would like to be my pastor. Yeah, right. Now, I'm not talking about just being pastor over me and have his job, you know, because he fly all over the world. But you know what? If you've been on a plane and you've flown more than 10 minutes, you know, like the Chicago, from here to Chicago is a half-hour flight. You've been on a 4-hour, 9-hour, 12-hour flight. It might look glorious on TV, but when you're sitting up in that plane, you know, you can't get up and go walk out on the wing. I mean, you got to sit there. People don't think about that part, man. You probably have butt sores. It ain't all what you think it is. And then it's the jet lag, and you're dealing with different peoples and cultures and foods, and everything ain't what people think. They just look like it looked. They be looking at the lifestyle of Rich and Shameless and think it's the same thing. That's a work. That's a work, man. Shoot. But we are in the last days. So, you know, do your part. Your part to see, this is the thing. Everybody that gets saved under the ministry where you serving, you receive a blessing for that. That is accounted to you in heaven. See, so every soul that come into your church, and that's if you participate. It's like investing in the stock market. You know, there's a book called God's Mutual. If you give to three ministries and they're doing worldwide work, God accounts you for that. Now, again, when it comes to giving, and I'm just going to say this right quick, find an inlet for God to feel, to prosper. It's got to be something. I mean, now, he can bless you on your job, but your job is limited to what your contract specifies. But if you set up some type of small business, then God can bless that business. You know, that's just a little nugget on the side. All right. Another thing I got wrote down here, well, that's going to cover in a lot of territory. UFOs, okay? And I be kind of glad sometimes when I hear people of higher level of authority co-sign what I say to people. Not that I really care, but it helps, you know, because people, if you don't have a title, people tend not to want to believe what you say. But UFOs, I've seen UFOs. I've always been with somebody when I saw one. But the problem I had was once I read the entire Bible, I'm like, you know, God, and I didn't see none in there. And he told me, so listen, Satan got an IQ, I've told you before, of IQ of 2,500. He knows more than all the geniuses on the planet together, okay? He's allowed to take substance of the earth that exists and manipulate it. Okay, he can do that. So that the reason you're going to see more of them is because why? He got to have a cover story for the rapture. That's what the UFOs is about. Expect to see more of the expect. This is my expectation. Before the rapture or shortly thereafter, you're going to see a visible UFO, not on a radar blip, but a visible UFO. And somebody recently said that some of them objects they shot down recently were holograms. I believe that. Because, again, we're dealing with deception. And Jesus warned about deception in the last days. So you can't lose sight of all who is involved in this. And Satan, he's been at this a long time. He understands our psychology. His game, you going to hell is his objective. He wants you in his kingdom, not God. You know, he still have a delusion that he can come out on top of this deal. All right? So we know there's going to be a rapture. We know there's going to be, listen, The most that could be happening with World War III as far as prayers of the righteous is we could delay it. But I don't think what I see now happening in this world tells me that ain't going to happen. But then, I mean, you know, that's what it would take. Us talking about a revival, you know, it would take a big one. I mean, I pray every day. I pray every day. I pray for a while every day. I pray for people every day. Every day. Because that's our assignment, and that's God's will. We got this far by faith, okay? So, but you got to understand where we are. Now, at the same time, I'm either come now, Lord Jesus, at the same time, you know. But I look at all that's going on in the world, and I understand the reasoning behind that. We are in the last days. And see, Satan ready to get his show on. He know he got a seven-year period coming. He's going to be, that's the other thing you got to remember. He's going to be running things through that 7 years, you know. that's another deep story right there. I'm not going to get into who I think the Antichrist is, but it don't matter because he can't do nothing while I'm on the planet. Remember this, the devil does not have, if you in Christ, this is a major. If you in Christ, Satan does not have authority over you. He can talk some stuff. He can act up some stuff. I mean, he'll do some crazy stuff. Man, you know, I had a rental property once, and when I bought it, the people on the street told me the house had demons in it. I'm like, okay, they're getting evicted. And after that, I mean, I was in there, and them fools was knocking over stuff. I'm like, man, y'all gonna think this is a TV show or something. I got the real Jesus. Y'all better get up out of here. Cast them out in Jesus' name. Put a blood ring around the house. I ain't no more problem with them. Anyway, all right. So we done talked about the fact that there's a rapture and that there's going to be World War III. You don't want to be here. You need to take time on the weekend or whenever you get time, or just start reading the book of Revelation. I've had people tell me they're scared to read it. It's called Revelation. You need to be scared. That's a good scared, you know, scared to heaven. That's a good one, you know. But you want to see what you're going to miss because it's going to be horrible, you know. I mean, if I was into the movie business, you're talking about a horror show, that would be the most horrible show, you know. Shoot, I'm thinking about writing up a plot for both the tribulation period, you know. They don't never make it. The movies I've seen don't tell it like it's going to be. You got to read the book of Revelation. It's going to be horrific. It's going to be horrible. But why? Because people want to be hard-headed. They want to tell God how they want to run it. They want to run him. They want him to do his will. I see that even with churches. They want him to do his will. You know, it's sad. All right? But anyway, so let's, where we going? Luke chapter 17. Now we're going to look at, so we got to the rapture, we then got to Wormwood. But right now, that's good enough. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 17, and these are just some indicators of how we know what time it is, which is really not hard to tell, because what you have is large numbers of Christians rebelling against God. They do it in their voice and their actions. And I get it. I get the understanding for compassion for people. But matter of fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I wanted to read something because it's something that needs to be. We just recently, here in 2023, March, time going so fast, had another, the 149th mass shooting this year, and it was performed by what is believed to be a transgender. Well, listen at this. This is in First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now, understand, Corinthians was your modern-day, at that time, city like New York or Detroit, large city, a lot of money, a lot of sin, a lot of everything. Wherever you find a lot of money, you generally find a lot of sin. But anyway, it said, Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, or slanderers, swindlers, inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Now listen, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal out of homosexuals like they worse than adulterers or fornicators or thieves or liars. This is the whole list. And they on that list, but they just won on that list. See, I was everything on that list but a homosexual and a slanderer. Okay? I was a swindler. Yes, I was. You know, I wasn't a male prostitute. Well, the women didn't pay me, I put it like that. Okay? Sexually immoral? Yes. Idolater? Yes. Okay? Now, when they talk about drunkards, basically drug addicts, drunkards, people that drank, just totally disregard for measure, that's what that's talking about. That's, you know, that would have made me, I would say, six times as worse as they were. And God baptized, that's what shocked me, that God baptized me in the Holy Spirit in those conditions. That's what Paul's saying. You were washed. See, we're dealing with something that's awesome and tremendous here. Okay? Now, I said all that because they're making a big deal about this person that did what they did. Listen, this is what happened. I'm trying to tell y'all, I keep saying this, that saints, don't send your children to school without praying for them. Teach your children. Listen. Okay, your children covered by you if you're in Christ. But teach your children, walk them through the prayer of salvation that we do at the end, okay, in which we are approaching. And teach them to command angels. These kids are about it. They're not like adults. They don't debate issues. They don't get into, you know, that sound too much. They like fantasy, but it's real. It's real. Angels are real. And angels will give them regard. Let them give them that. So that gives them that independent authority. We have that ability. What happened at that church is I looked at the level that they're at and seeing that you can pick your level. You can pick it, but you got to deal with the consequence. I'm sure some parents want to know why. Were my kids in this Christian school not protected? Where was God? Well, if you don't pray every day, you have to do this day by day. And if you want, I don't have time to teach you on that. I'm coming out with a book on angels and demons. And you got to be real. I'm telling you, you got to look at it. This is in the Bible, okay? Matthew 26:53, Jesus, you got to understand how hermeneutics work. When he says something, you got to look into detail as to what he said, okay? We are in the last days. You can play with this. You can ignore this all you want, but you will have to deal with the consequences. And the Bible says a lot of people going to get their heart broke to the point that they turn away from God, okay? This is where we are. The battle is raging now. It's not going to get less. Get your mind out of thinking it's going to get less. It's only the only way you're going to feel less pressure is to be deeper in God, okay? Them parents, like it was in Uvalde, they didn't cover their children with prayer. And the people that work at that school, they you know what? You got to be detail specific. Listen, if something's wrong. If God's word said the angel encamp around those that fear him and the angels, God's angels are more powerful than Satan's and Satan can slip up in there and do that, something got to be wrong on our end. Now, if somebody got some information that I don't know that's in the Word, you can send me an email at 7trainingday@gmail.com because I want to know. Because my success has been my commanding angels. I leave out the house. I command the angels to camp around about my house. Okay? And it's a process. You want a lot of details. There ain't no instructions in the Bible about how to drive a car. Some things you got to learn. But then That's one of them Deuteronomy 29:29. And I, you know, I get pushback, but I tell you what, I have success with it. I have success with it. So you don't have to believe it. I'm just telling you. I'm just putting it out there. Command, you got to do it. And what goes with the command is you can't, if you argue with your husband, repent, right? Don't go to work and repent later. Do it right there. Just say, okay, Lord, forgive me. I'm out of control. You got to keep yourself in alignment. That's what keeps the power flow going. Satan understand all this. He knew once he got Eve to really just touch that fruit, he got in like Flynn. You got to look at the whole picture. You are here to learn that. You are here to learn. You're not working to get to heaven. Jesus paid for that. Okay? You're not working for eternal life. Jesus paid for that. You already took the deal. Okay? He took your sin for his righteousness. God gave you right standing. The purpose of right standing is what? When you're in right standing, if you're on your job, if you're in good standing with your job, you have access to all the benefits your job offers. So if you're in right standing with God, you have benefits to all that he offers. Protect your children. You got to do what you need to do. And if there's anything that you need to get correct, okay, that will prevent that from happening, ask God about it. I'm not God. My name Richard. I'm not God, okay? I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things, trust me. But I know this. I know this. This part I know. And it's going to be critical. I'm telling you, you can change the effect of your weather. Them folk that just got beat up in Mississippi with another tornadoes, they asked God, you got to look at some of my videos on prayer, okay? You got to understand, saints, right now where we are in history is you got to go for what the Bible say you should know. You can't go by, you can play religion. Satan don't even care. He wants you to not say nothing. He wants you to not know nothing. Okay? But anyway, we done got down to this thing. We made some headway. I did better than I thought I was going to do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But at any cost, you want to be sure. You may not be sure that you're saved. You may not be saved. This may be the first time you may have stumbled upon this video before or after the rapture. But this is all it takes. This the part I like. This the easy part is, as the man of God say, God made it easy enough for a 2-year-old to be able to access this. All you have to do is believe this prayer when you say it. It said, Lord God, I believe the Bible is your word. And I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe that we were born in sin as it is written. But I also believe that you said if we acknowledge our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from it. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that I am saved, I am born again, and I am forgiven. You know, that's the deep part. People be looking for some deep stuff, and that's as deep as it gets. That right there, that prayer right there entitles you to all the benefits and promises of God. There are books out there that break that down for you. One of those promises is angelic protection. But to me, it just seems like if it doesn't work, then there's got to be something short on my end. And I'm like I said, I sought God about the issue. Okay, because I read books on angels. They were telling me all about the seraphims and the cherubims, and I'm like, okay, so how do I get them to do what I need them to do? You know, them some bad dudes. You know, you got warrior angels. You got one who killed 185,000 men by himself. So how one person get in and kill up some people, I don't know. Well, I do know. That's how they do it. You got to be able to, you got to know how this thing works. And again, you don't have to take, you shouldn't just take my opinion. You should go to God and ask, is this so? And show me in your word if it is. Everything's backed up by the word of God. All right, but with that, we're going to say, remember, prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through, calling all my friends asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here. Life comes and goes, make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart.